Ending the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, chapter 2, is Israel a servant? Jeremiah 2, verse 14. Right, we left off last week. I'm going to say it again. Is Israel a servant? Question mark. Is he a homeborn slave? Question mark. Why is he spoiled? Three questions that must be asked and must be answered by every Hebrew Israelite on planet Earth. Three very important questions to the Hebrew Israelite on planet Earth today. Can I read them again? Is Israel a servant? Question number one. Question number two, is he a homeborn slave? And question number three, why is he spoiled? Three important questions for the Hebrew Israelite. You may be seated.
Amen.
I said three important questions.
All right.
You Hebrew. On this Shabbat.
Yeah.
We have to answer these questions before we can move one step further. We have to answer these three questions. These three questions must be answered if we're going to understand why there's such a pleading from this prophet for the rest of this book. Three important questions. I'm talking about paramount in helping us understand Zion. Who we are, whose we are, and why we are in the condition we are. You're all going to pray with your preacher.
Amen.
I was reading this passage, and we're going to answer it in the text, but I was reading this passage, and I honestly got arrested by these three questions. They are intended to be what's called rhetorical questions. I don't know if they've changed the rules, but when I was in school, a rhetorical question was a question that the answer is, watch this, so obvious that you don't need to state it. A rhetorical question is one that the answer is so obvious that the question itself, I'm helping somebody pass an English test. The question itself, amen, implies the answer. But when I read this passage, you know, I was looking at it, I promise you. And when I was studying it, I said, isn't this amazing? We have three rhetorical questions that are no longer rhetorical because we don't know. Every one of these questions should be answered simply by those Hebrews who understand who we are. But because we don't know who we are, and we don't know whose we are, and we don't know why we are, these supposedly rhetorical questions have become questions that cannot be answered by the average Hebrew Israelite today. They would have to be honest with themselves and admit, I ain't gonna keep y'all long today. They'd have to be honest with themselves and admit, I don't know. Is Israel a servant? Be honest, they say, I don't know. Is he a homeborn slave? They would say, I don't know. Why is he, the Hebrew Israelite, spoiled or ruined? Again, the answer would come back. I don't know. And so I want to deal with those three questions, and then we're gonna listen. But I want you to first let the question sink in. Question number one. Is Israel a servant? Is he a slave? Is he? Is Israel a slave? I mean, by nature, by creation, is Israel a slave? So, well, Reverend, where are you going? I'm going to show you in a minute. When Yah called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldeans, Ur was pagan and heathen. And our father Abraham got a call, said, come out from among your people and among your kin, and among your kindred. Follow me. Uncle Abe said, where we going? Yahuwah said, don't worry about that. You walk, and I'll tell you where you are when you get there. Say, well, where are we going? We're going to a city, I'm preaching, whose builder and maker is the Most High Yahuwah. When he left his kindred and he left his home, he left heading somewhere to a country that he really didn't know where he was going. He just left walking. Yeah. Tell me something. He left out a free man. Yeah. Y'all remember that? Yeah. He roamed as he wanted to. He was a, talk back to me. He was free. He was not a slave to anybody. He was free. Went down, y'all remember, into Egypt a couple times. Because I want to show you this homeborn, I want to show you this homeborn slave thing in a minute. But he went down to Egypt and he was running from the Most High, or he was lying because there was a famine in the land of Canaan. And basically what ended up happening, y'all know, he ended up with Hagar. And then he couldn't have a baby, even though y'all told him he was going to have a son. Y'all remember that? I'm going to rush through that real fast. And he ended up having a son named Ishmael. Remember? Ishmael was from an Egyptian woman named Hagar. Because she was Sarah's handmaiden, it made her a servant. Therefore, Ishmael was not just the son of Abraham, but he was born a servant. But then later on, the promise came to Sarah. Y'all remember that, right? I can rush through this part, right? And Sarah was 90. Abraham was 100. And the word is, you about to have a baby. And she laughed. It's in the record. When the Most High said, Why are you laughing over in that tent, girl? I heard you. She said, I wasn't laughing. I said, yes, you were. You were laughing. Because in your heart, you really think this is too hard for me. But I tell you what, you're going to name your son Laughter. Because next year this time when I come back, you will have a boy. And his name will be Laughter. So they had a boy named, talk back to me. So you had Abraham, then Isaac. Is Isaac a slave? No. Then Isaac has Jacob. He has the twins, but of course, Jacob is the one chosen. And is Jacob a slave? No. So Abraham's not a slave. Isaac's not a slave. Jacob is not a slave. Jacob's name then is turned to Israel. And that word Israel is not the word for slave. It's the word for prince. And why are you a prince? A prince is the son of a king. Yahweh is our king. But then, watch this. One of the sons of the prince ends up going ahead of the family into a place called Egypt. And in Egypt for over 400 years, they were there, and there arose a fella who didn't understand or didn't know or did not perceive that it was Joseph, who was the son of a prince, who was a child of the king, that saved Egypt and the whole world. This fella grew up not knowing who Joseph really was. It's in the Bible. In other words, Joseph could honestly say, if he would have been still living, there was somebody who grew up didn't know nothing about me. There was somebody who took over, didn't know anything about me or my people. We were in Egypt, but we didn't come here slaves. Are we in here? Now, that's your history. After we come out of slavery, the reason why the Most High gets us out of it in the first place is because we had no business being a slave in the nation that Yah used us to save. It was an illegal slavery. It was an unrighteous slavery. It was a cruel and unusual slavery. And so when we hollered to the Most High, Yah, he delivered us. Because we hadn't done anything to make us slaves in Egypt, but save Egypt. So Yah brought us out by a mighty hand. And when he brought them out, he took them to a mountain called Sinai. And it's the record. This is the true story. He said, I want y'all to know something. I'm the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt and the household of bondage. I brought you out. It's me, Yahuwah. And he gives them 10 commandments. Don't have no more gods before me. Don't make any agreement. Don't use my name in vain. Remember the Shabbat, to keep it holy. Honor your mom and your daddy. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Y'all know that. 10 commandments, right? Yeah. You don't do no one right. Bear false witness, don't be going around lying. Now watch this. Why? Because he said, and I got to get to my text because y'all going to be ready. I know y'all fall asleep on me easy. No. By the way, let me salute the 12 tribes of Israel worldwide. I know who you are. I know you out there, even if you don't know yourself. We salute you because you got a great job to do in these last days. Yeah. Hallelujah. But watch this. He says, I am making of thee, this is the Bible, I'm making of you a nation of kings and princes. It's important to understand that. You are to be to this world a nation of kings. And of course we know they do produce kings later. And he says, of priests. You are to be a holy nation unto me. So he made Israel to be his people and the sheep of his pasture. We, Zion, became, watch this, Yah's chosen people. Don't let them lie to you and say that the converts in the land today are the chosen. No, they're not the chosen. There is a real group of people who were chosen by him to be, watch this, the light of the entire world. And it's so evident, I'm trying to get to my text so bad. It's so evident that there is a people that my brothers and my sisters, the world is still trying to figure us out scientifically. The true Hebrew Israelite is being studied and studied and studied again because we defy human logic and understanding. We don't understand him. We cannot understand how he seems to have a Midas touch. You know, you can make a saxophone in Europe all off Saxon. And all they did when they made that horn, they went do ba do ba do da do 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 ba da do da do 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 da do do ba da do ba da do ba da do do da ba do. But oh, when Charlie Parker touched it, da 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 ba da 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 ba da ba da 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 ba da ba da ba da ba ba da ba da ba ba. Say, what did that Hebrew just do to my horn? It's called the Midas touch, the Hebrew touch. Can I get a witness here? You know the trumpet was used to go until Miles touched it. Woo, I mean, I'm trying to get you all to see some. They study us. They don't understand it. When they go to dance class, they got to put little pictures of shoes and steps on the ground. And they tell them, put your foot on that shoe print. But not so with the Hebrew. We come out of here. Yeah. Dancing and prancing. I wish I had a witness here. They're studying us. They don't understand it. '38 of the last Olympics. It has been a Hebrew Israelite that has won the 100 meter dash. Hold on, we got Chinese and Japanese and Europeans, we got France and Spain. You know, the Olympics is worldwide. What is it about that race that the Hebrew, when he get in it, change the race? I don't care if the Hebrew from America or from Jamaica. Whoever thought a Hebrew could run 110 meters in less than 10 seconds. I said less than 10 seconds. 110 meters in less than 10 seconds, and we're getting faster by the day. I thought Carl Lewis was the baddest thing ever touched a track. But it didn't take long, and that was a Maurice Green. It didn't take long after him until there was a fellow named boat. You say. And wait a minute. Hold on. You do know this year a fella, the last Olympics, a fella ran 100 meters. Watch this. Watch this. In 9.8 seconds. Watch this. And didn't get a medal. Because 3 other Hebrews ran faster than that.
Wow.
What am I saying is that we've always been extraordinary. Have you ever seen the highlight reel? If you watch basketball highlights, what you're going to see is Hebrews flying from the top of the key. You're going to see them slamming the basketball in ways. Have you ever watched a dunk contest? I saw a Negro take a basketball. He took 3 balls, jumped in the air with 2, and slammed both of them, caught another ball, slammed it 3, and lost the slam dunk contest. Because the fellow that beat him jumped over a car. I'm trying to show you about Hebrew exceptionalism. Did you see the Hebrew with the football in his hand take off running, and the last defender had him pegged at the 2-yard line, and the Hebrew jumped from his feet, turned a complete flip in the air over the head of the defender, and landed in the end zone on his feet. It's on the highlight reel. He's special. Before Tiger Woods went 51-50, he changed the whole game of golf. They had to remake all the courses in America that were high-level pro courses. They called them trying to tiger-proof the courses. They wasn't trying to. You never heard of no Arnold Palmer-proof, no Jack Nicklaus-proof. But oh, when we touched the club, they had to remake the whole course. I could keep going. You know they used to have a thing, the heavyweight fights, they wouldn't let us in. But finally they got a fella named Jack Johnson. They let him in the ring and he was knocking out everybody. He became the first black. And ever since then, do I need a witness in this room? They've been looking for the great white hope. The best they came was Rocky Balboa, and he was a fictional character written by Sylvester Stallone. Rocky don't even exist. In real life, he'd have been whooped by Clubber Lang. But the other fella he had to fight, who? Oh man, everybody would have whooped him. Come on, this is real life. In real life, you can't whoop us. In the ring, in real life. You can't outrun us. You can't outjump us. You can't outscore us. You cannot outsing us. Have you ever heard of a woman named Aretha Franklin? I'm sorry, I had a crush on Aretha. I had to shake that real quick and mess up my whole sermon. Ooh, I don't mean no harm, honey, but have y'all ever heard of Aretha? Said, all I want is a little bit back when I come home. Okay, has there been any other nationality on planet Earth that have produced an Aretha Franklin? Have you ever heard a woman named Ella Fitzgerald? What other race on planet Earth has produced an Ella Fitzgerald? None. How about Whitney Houston? Have y'all heard of her? I'm trying to get closer to your day now. Y'all, are you catching my point?
Yes.
Hebrews are being studied in laboratories right now. They studying our vocal cords. How come they can sing like that? They're studying our bone structure. How come they're so strong? They're studying our muscles. How come they can run like they can run? And watch this. They're even studying our brains. Because we got 8 and 10-year-old boys who flunking out of math class but running the whole block when it comes to slinging drugs. Boy ain't even made it to manhood. He ain't even passed adolescence. Puberty ain't hit him. His voice still high. Talking about, y'all better have my money. I mean, y'all come in the room with your pastor. I'm trying to tell you something. It's the truth. And they don't understand how we do it. To this very day. How can we make represent less than 12% of the population? Of the 12%, something like 50% is ineligible to vote because of either in prison or on parole. And yet, we live in a prejudiced society. Watch this. That hates the Hebrew. And we have one and his wife and his two daughters in the White House running the United States. What do you mean? Who was Barack? He was a community organizer. Like this. This is a community center. This is where he worked. He was like Joe. Joe Perry, the guy who's running this community center. That's what he did. He had a community center. He went from a community center worker. You do know that was his job. He was a community organizer. To the president. Now I'm going to put this question back on you. I'm not going to be able to finish my sermon. Put this back on you. Is this race a slave?
No.
I mean, this race that we're talking about that I just mentioned, that everything they touch turned to gold. Give them drumsticks, they change drumming forever. Give them a microphone. They'll change the way singing is done forever. Take away all their instruments. They will make instruments with their vocal cords. It doesn't matter. You push them down, you stomp them down, you beat them, you castrate them, you burn them, you lynch them, you hang them. It does not matter. It seems to always be something in that particular race that the whole world wants to follow all the time. I remember when Give Me Five was in. You say, give me five, and they would give you five. We started that. Next thing you know, the whole world was giving each other five. We changed it. We said, give me a high five. And then everybody in the world started giving the y'all, I'm telling you the truth. We changed the world. Good and bad. You do know that, right? Miley Cyrus almost put herself in the hospital trying to twerk like a sister. When that first started, we were making fun and doing jokes.
Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? It doesn't matter, Zion. We went to prison as a people, the brothers. Came out because in prison you don't get a belt. So sometimes your pants don't fit good, Lee. Sag off your rear end. And some Hebrews came out of prison and had on pants that were still sagging. And next thing you know, the whole world is sagging. Wait, hold on. I'm talking about the world now. Is the race I'm talking about a slave? It does not make any sense why a race with this type of privilege and exceptionalism should ever be the slave of anybody. We can outrun everybody. We can outjump everybody. We can outfight everybody. We can outtalk everybody. We can outsing everybody. We can outdance everybody. We can outrule everybody. Have you, some of our preachers, have you heard their voices? It's just the voice. Just I'm talking about the vocal cords. I'm a son of a man who's got those kind of pipes. I don't have them, but my daddy got them. My father, and some of y'all know this, my father honestly could be at a football game on the top row. And they'll do, Smitty never tell you. He used to come watch Smitty play back in the day. If my daddy in that whole crowd hollers down on the field, you can hear his voice. You find out the truth? We have, I'm trying to show you something. They're studying us to find out what it is about. And I tell, and then, listen, y'all don't have to do that much research. All you got to do is open the manuscript. As soon as you open the manuscript, you're going to see a line that says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I says, Psalm 100 said, make a joyful noise unto Yah, all ye land. Serve Yah with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that Yahuwah, our Elohim, we are his. He made us. He genied us. We didn't make ourselves. We don't even know why we can do it. We don't know why. Some people will do things. I'm trying to say something. And when they try to interview the fellow afterwards and said, how did you do it? He said, I don't know. That's just what came to my mind. Question again, we got to answer. I'm 33 minutes in my text. I had to get out of verse 13 and I was trying to get all the way to 19, but I'm going to get to the question one more time. Is he a slave? Was he made by Yah to be someone else's slave? I hope by now, Zion, you can see by what I brought out, that answer has to be no. You don't make a people that special, that gifted, that intelligent for them to become slaves. Y'all heard of George Washington Carver, right? Who took the peanut? Is that the one? Is that the right one? Yes. 800 inventions. To this day, the space shuttle uses his invention to feed the astronauts in outer space. You think he was made to be somebody's slave? He created the assembly line for the Ford Auto Company. He created the assembly line based on watching a flower. And as he watched a flower develop, he said, if you were able to take a product and add to it what it needs and go to the base of it and find out how, then you could put it also through an assembly so it will start off as a bud and end up a full-grown flower at the end. Was he supposed to be a slave? Was he made to be a slave? No. Let me shut this down. Y'all been kind. Is Israel a servant? No. Let me tell you something. When they went and got us Zion from Africa, they knew who they were getting. They were trying to build the greatest nation on planet Earth. In order to build the greatest nation on planet Earth, they had to go and get the greatest nation builders. But there was only one. I'm going to shut this down. But there was only one thing they had to make sure. They said, now listen, I'm going to show you because we had these sellouts amongst our ranks who said, now I'm going to show you how you can get them. But if you don't follow my instructions, you won't have them long. Number one, if you want to get them and turn them into a slave, as soon as you catch them, you change their name. Don't let them have any relationship to who they are by name. Number two, don't let them speak in Hebrew. Don't you let these Hebrews talk Hebrew. I'm talking about if you want to keep them a slave, you better take Hebrew out of their mouth. Because there's a power in that language that was given to them by the Most High. Yeah, by the way, since I'm talking about the language, it'd be a good idea for that Bible y'all got. You better go back and rewrite that. And do what? Everywhere you see the word Yahweh, you better cover that up with something. Why? Because Yahweh is their God. And the record is every time they call on their God, he sets them free. So you better cover up. And somebody was smart. They said, you do know that Yahweh is in this Bible 6,800 times. He said, you better cover it then 6,800 sometimes. Because if they call on it again, I promise you, the record is already put out there that whenever they call on Yah, he delivers them. Oh, yes. One more thing. Yahushua, the one that died on the cross in your Bible, y'all better change that name too. Okay, well, we'll make it Joshua. No, that's too close. So what do we call him? Well, let's make up something. Yeah, we'll make his name Spanish, Latin, Jesus, German, Jesus. Anything than Yahushua. And this is how to keep them in bondage. Are y'all listening to me? Put them into idolatrous practices. Their Elohim hates idolatry. Make them bow down to Christmas trees, Easter bunnies, and Cupids. Make them dress up the kids like demons once a year. In other words, if you want to keep them slaves,
You got to make them violate this holy book. Is he born slave? No. Is he a slave? No. Was he born that way? No. Our people were not born in slave like Ishmael. Ishmael was a born slave, but not Isaac. Jacob was a prince. He says in this text, then I got a question. I'm done. I'm 40 minutes in. I'm done. This is my last question, and I'll pick it up next week. Watch this. Watch this. Then here's my last question. Then if he's not a servant, and he was not born a slave, because you do know they didn't come to Africa and pick up slaves. They picked up people and made them slaves. It's a big difference. They picked up people, mamas and daddies and cousins and uncles, folk, people, and made them slaves. But here's the question, and I'm answering this and I'm going home. Listen, the question is, last question number three, then why is he spoiled? I'm not talking about that spoiling that you do when you take a little baby and give them everything they want. That word there is ruined. With all that talent, with all that skill, with all that beauty, with all of that physical superiority, why is he ruined? Why is he on the bottom? Why is he damaged goods? Why is he decayed as a nation? How come he does not have anything? Why does his culture as a whole stink? Why are they, as a group of people, killing each other and being killed? And why are they being taken advantage of by everybody? Because you do know everybody is making money off of the Hebrews. Oh, don't let these Europeans fool you. They still making money off of Hebrews. Y'all see the World Cup? Soccer, I'm talking about. What they call international football. Look at it real close. You're going to see Hebrews out there. How in the world you got a... how you got a soccer team representing a European country? And eight fellas on the field is black as the ace of spades. Talking about we're playing for London. We're playing for Germany. No, you wouldn't got you some Hebrews. Oh, they're taking advantage of us to this very day. If you only knew how much money they make off of us in the entertainment business. In the sports world. Now watch this. They spoiling us even through our crime. This nation is making billions of dollars off of us being criminals. Are we in the room still? So the question is, why is he spoiled? How? Is he spoiled? What has diminished him, decayed him, wasted him? What made him and put him in a situation where he would be given over to the hands of the Babylonians for prey? I'll tell you. He rejected the fountain of living water. Didn't I tell y'all on last week? The fountainhead is Yahuwah. Hewed out for himself. Cisterns. I can't hold no water. I told y'all that last week. Now watch this. But he's also decided, and I'm going to close, that in the time of trouble, instead of turning back to Yah, he would turn to Egypt and Assyria.
It is a very strange thing about Yah's people. You will never ever see this in another people. It's just us. It's the Hebrews. It's a problem we have. It's called Stockholm Syndrome. Stockholm Syndrome is when a person who has been captured or kidnapped falls in love with their captor. Falls in love with their master. And so our people have Stockholm Syndrome. We've always had it. Ever since Egypt. When we got out of Egypt, we went through the wilderness into the promised land. Every time trials and tribulations come, instead of us turning to the Most High Yah that brought us out of Egypt, we would go back to Egypt and ask for help. And then if Egypt couldn't help us, we would go to Assyria. That's the land of the Canaanites. Now watch this. Don't that sound like us? We got free. But in times of trouble, instead of trusting in the one that freed us, we went back and sold ourselves into sharecropping. The very man that had us in slavery, we thought that same man was going to help us be free. Oh, I'm not quiet. Master not coming through the door, y'all. It's all right. And if we do, this is America. We got something for. Don't be scared. We turn to the government, is my point. The government has become to us God. Because the government gives us cheese and butter. The government gives us welfare. Government gives us child care. Matter of fact, let me close with this. Some people say we have rewritten the 23rd Psalm. We don't say Yahuwah no more. We say the government is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's the government that gave me Section 8. The government leadeth me beside still waters. The government restored my soul. Yeah, we follow the government school system. The government leads me in the path of righteousness, not Yahweh, so that we can become what? Good citizens of this government. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? The U.S. government. He's with me. His tanks, his missiles, his bombs. They give me comfort. Are y'all with me here?
Amen.
That's one of our sins. It's one of the reasons we're about to be in trouble again. Secondly, and I'm done, religion. The world's religion represented by Assyria or Babylon. For some strange reason, we have this weird tendency to always want to worship idols. And these people had not gone into captivity yet, but it's spoken as though they've already been. The prophet is telling these people, based on your behavior, you're already a slave in Babylon. I'm going to stop here. In this church, in this congregation of people, my point to you today is this. We have no business being slaves. We have no business living like slaves, acting like slaves, worshiping like slaves. Because our people have been set apart by the Most High Yah to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. This is going to have to be part one of three questions every Hebrew must answer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, my prayer is that these your people
would have received what the Spirit is saying to the church. And my prayer is that as they receive it, they would begin to walk in the liberty that you have given them as your children. Yahuwah, you are our Father, and our nation is to be free. Yehoshua said, he who the Son makes free is free indeed. Free us from this world and its system so that we can be servants to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Shalom, shalom.